Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and turn to Luke 17, if you would. As always, if you do not have a Bible or if you need a Bible, please come see me after the service and we can get one into your hands. I do not want anyone to have to go without the Word of God readily available. So Jesus has been teaching and he has been addressing his disciples. He's been teaching and addressing his new believers and followers that are coming up along with him. And he has been teaching and addressing the traditional church folk, the Pharisees, at the time who were opposing him. And we've looked over the last couple of chapters that he's been stationary and sharing, turning his attention back and forth between those different groups. And the reason that the Pharisees were opposing him is that he was teaching that it is not our actions, it is not our obedience, it is not our adherence to the law that saves us. Indeed, our salvation is by faith alone. Christianity, true religion as taught by God the Father, God Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, true religion is not do and be saved, but is instead you are saved. Now you can go do. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 that Jesus has prepared beforehand good works that we are to go do. But that obedience and that service of doing those good works in and of itself is not pleasing to God on its own. They are only pleasing to God if and when they are done through faith in him. And so that's the main point that Jesus has been making over the last little bit. And I do apologize for the way the sermons are printed out for those that are reading. A little bit of issues with the paper. But that's where Jesus' main point has been, is that we are not saved through our actions, but that we act on our salvation. And so now Jesus gets up and he goes. He continues his journey. And that's where we're going to pick up in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. I will, as usual, be reading out of the English Standard Version. I encourage you to grab your Bible, whichever translation it is, and follow along as we read the Word of God. So Luke 17, 11 through 19, inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by Luke the physician. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. So again, we see that Jesus is once again on the move. He is still and he is again on his way to Jerusalem. This is a journey that he started. We saw back in Luke 9:51 that Jesus set his eyes upon Jerusalem. And this is a part of that same journey. He is continuing this journey, this specific journey to Jerusalem, where it's going to culminate in the Passover meal, the Last Supper, and his trials, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. It takes us a while reading-wise for us to get there because a lot is happening. But this is one journey starting in Luke 9 that he is taking on his way to Jerusalem. Now, in this part of the trip, he is traveling between Samaria and Galilee. We've talked before about the hatred between the Jews and the Sumerians. Essentially, Israel was split into three states, kind of. It was more than states. They were a little bit more autonomous than that, but for lack of a better term today. There are basically three states, and it was Galilee at the north, it was Samaria in the middle, and it was, I believe it was Judah on the bottom, or it was just Israel. I forget now because I didn't write it down. That's why you always write things down. The point is that for most journeys between Galilee and the southern state, the easiest way, the quickest way, the most direct way is to just walk, and you'd end up going through Samaria. That's not how most Jewish people would go. In fact, it would have been scandalous to even travel close to Samaria. They would instead travel around one way or the other to stay as far away as they could. And so Jesus, the fact that he was even close to it, we see in numerous places in Scripture that he does go into Samaria and the troubles and the scandal that it causes. In this case, it doesn't say whether they were in Samaria. It sounds like they're close. And outside one of the villages in this section of travel, Jesus encounters 10 lepers. The lepers were set apart. They were called to be set apart, but not in the way that means holy, like we're called to be set apart. They were called to be separated and moved away from everybody else. They were removed from the towns and villages. They were placed outside of them. They were not allowed near people. In fact, if they saw people that might come near them, they were to yell out a continual warning, unclean, unclean, unclean. And so nobody would be mistakenly getting near them and possibly catching leprosy. So you think COVID quarantines were bad? Nothing compared to biblical leprosy quarantines. Jesus comes along this village. These lepers are outside it, and they shout out to him, "Master, have mercy on us." They knew, at least in part, who he was. They knew that was Jesus that was coming along. They knew that he had the ability to perform miracles. They knew that he had the ability to heal. They knew that this was a guy who could do things. Despite being removed from everyone, from friends, family, society, from everyone, they knew that this was Jesus. He had already healed lepers. He reached out and touched one. They knew that he could heal, that he could do this. And they knew that he was able to do things. And so they cried out to him for him to have mercy on them. And in verse 14, it says that Jesus saw them. Now, I don't want us to blow past this and gloss over it. That's an easy part to just, that's just a part of the sentence that you just keep going. But I think this is a key part to this text. Jesus actually saw them. Not saw that they were there and made sure not to get too close. Not saw that they were there out of side vision, acknowledge it, keep moving. But he saw them and he saw who they were. He saw what they were dealing with, what they were going through. Now, I don't know if somebody in here needs to hear this, but I know that there's a lot of people in this world that do. For many, this is the greatest way to show love to them, is to see them. To truly see them. These lepers were ignored by the masses. They were ignored by society. They were not acknowledged. They were not talked to. They were not helped. They were not ministered to. In the eyes and life of people in that world, these lepers practically did not exist except to make sure you didn't get too close. Well, there are many groups that fall into that category today in our world. And they span the spectrum as well. The homeless, widows and orphans, the poor and forgotten, refugees, prisoners, abuse victims, the depressed and the suicidal, our friends that are going through hard times that we just don't want to deal with that uncomfortableness. A lot of people are going through where they just need to be seen and heard. There's a lot of individuals too that don't fit into those categories that just need that. We are to love people. I don't think anyone can argue that about how clear Scripture is on that point. We are to love people. We are to love them as Jesus loved them. We are to love them even if nobody else loves them. And Jesus right here shows us how we are able to love them. He He sees them. He hears them. He acknowledges them. They're not just there, but these are people. And that's love that many people do not receive. That acknowledgement that they are a person, that they're actually there. So Jesus sees them and really sees them, and he responds to their cries. He tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And why would he tell them that? They asked for mercy, hoped to be healed, I'm sure. And he tells them to go to the priests. Reason that one who had leprosy would go to the priest is to show him that they are healed. And the priest, his job would be to confirm that healing and then publicly and legally pronounce them clean. We see back in Leviticus 13 and 14, God lays that all out. The priests had the ability and the authority to confirm that the lepers were cured and to declare them clean. They could not heal the lepers. They could only affirm that they were healed. So at this point in the leper's life, there was no physical reason for them to go and show themselves to the priests. But that's what Jesus told them to do. They were not yet healed, so there was nothing for the priest to confirm at that point. They had to take Jesus at his word, and they had to show at least some kind of faith, some trust in Jesus to go ahead and to head over to the priests. I read through a number of commentaries on this passage, and a lot of them speculate there was probably some arguing among the group. Well, there's no point in going. Why should we go? Well, he said to go. What can it hurt to go? You know, trying to figure out, come to a consensus among them. We don't know. You know, we know that ultimately the 10 listened and they went. They did. They started on their way to the priests. They showed at least some faith. They showed obedience. They obeyed the word of God, the words from Jesus Christ, obeyed him as they went on their way to the priest. And as they did that, they were healed. Yes. We think of the passage that Frank read this morning, and the point was the obedience that comes from faith is what healed Naaman as he dipped himself in the River Jordan. That Naaman was talking for. It wasn't that the river itself was anything. It wasn't that the waters were clean and had miraculous powers. In fact, as he said, the rivers here in Jordan or Syria are better than those rivers down there. Yeah. Point was not anything about the river. The fact was, God said to do this, show this faith and obey, and you will be healed. And that's what he ended up doing ultimately, and he was healed. And that's the same situation here. That does not mean that if you do your best to obey God's rules, that you will never get sick or you will be miraculously healed. Yes, God can do that. He does that on occasion, but it is not a prescriptive text for us to live our life by. God does that when he chooses to show grace and miracles. It is not a normal everyday thing, otherwise it wouldn't be a miracle. But that is the pattern that he set in 2 Kings. That's the same pattern that he is doing here with these 10 lepers. They obeyed the word of God, and as they followed through on that, they were healed. Now, as always with Jesus, this was a miraculous healing. It was a complete and a full healing. It was an instantaneous healing. It was not a gradual healing. It was an event that happened as they were walking and could not be missed. It's not like the lepers would not have noticed this instant and complete, all of a sudden, lack of leprosy on them. They wouldn't have not noticed if things were growing back or if the sores went away or whatever they looked like instantly changed in a heartbeat. They were still supposed to go to the priest so that they could be publicly and legally declared clean and so that they could be brought back into the community. So we do see that all 10 lepers had to realize that they were just instantly and completely healed. Presumably, 9 of them continued on their journey to the priest. Understandably, to a point. They would have been super excited. Once the priest declared them clean and they went through the very brief 8-day waiting period, they would be able to be reunited with friends, family, and society. So I'm sure they were excited and in a hurry to get to the priest. They would have been grateful for what happened, for sure, and they would have tried to continue to obey what was being said. But one of the ten, one of them noticed and stopped his journey. He turned back around and went back to praise and give thanks to Jesus. Amen. Now, 10 lepers professed Jesus as master. 10 lepers acted with some kind of faith. 10 lepers were healed. Now, this is not intended to be a mathematical equation in here. This is not to tell us that 9 out of 10 people are not saved or anything like that. If you take a math formula out of this, you're missing the point. This is a story that reveals God's goodness, that Jesus' godness, general people's ungratefulness, and that it is often the unexpected who receive and respond to God's grace. 1 out of 10 had what we would call saving faith. 1 out of the 10 recognized what Jesus Christ did. 1 out of 10 came back and acknowledged what he did. And 1 out of 10 fell down and praised God. Now here is the scandalous part. It was a Samaritan, an outsider, a mixed breed, a non-Jew, someone who didn't deserve God's grace and salvation. So the last one anyone would ever expect to praise and worship the true God, the unexpected who received and responded to God's grace. And as we see here in this text, we see that here in this text, we also see the opposite. Now, granted, we're reading a little bit into the text in this next part, but if one of these 10 was a Samaritan, it is very likely that the other 9 were Jewish. And so as we've read over the last number of weeks, as we've read throughout Luke's gospel, there would have been a tendency to feel entitled, to think that God owed them healing. To think that they had done something to earn the healing, and so that there was no need to go back and thank Jesus for what he may or may not have done. They had some faith, but their faith was less in Jesus than it was in themselves, in their religious heritage, in their nationality heritage, and in their righteousness. The Samaritan came back. And as he did so, he allowed his spiritual obligation to override his ceremonial needs. He dropped down, he praised God, and he gave thanks to Jesus. And so he was essentially acknowledging that Jesus was God. Jesus accepted this and he asked, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to give praise to God except this foreigner?" He's pointing out, who is the one that responded? Who is the one that they would all expect to respond to a miraculous work from God? And who is the one that actually responded? He was pointing out the other 9's lack of true faith. Who came back and gave thanks? Who was grateful and appreciative? Only the Samaritan. He came back. Did none come back who thought they deserved it? Did none come back who thought they earned it? Did none of them, not one, give thanks and praise God? Only the one who everyone thought would be rejected. Only the one who nobody thought deserved it. Only the one who nobody thought was good enough. Only the one who nobody thought was the right kind. Only the foreigner. Only the one who knew that he couldn't do it himself. Only the one who knew he couldn't earn it. Only the one who knew he didn't deserve it. Only the one who knew it could only be the work of a graceful and merciful God. Only he came back and gave praise to God and gave thanks to Jesus. Jesus recognized the faith in the Samaritan. And he told him, "Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well." In the Greek, it is literally, "Your faith has brought your salvation." Jesus, as he says, "You are made well," he is not talking only about the physical healing. He was healed earlier. Now he is made well. Jesus was referring to the man's salvation. So what saved this man? His faith in the one who saves. He was not saved by his ethnicity, nor his race, nor his heritage. He was not saved by his goodness, his righteousness or his deservedness. He was not saved by his culture or his morals or his upbringing. He was not saved by his words, as in professing faith. He was not saved by his church attendance or by his studiousness or his Bible knowledge. He was not saved by his religious tradition and background. He was saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, revealed by the scriptures alone, and all to the glory of God alone. Amen. 10 were healed. Only one was made well. We need to remember who we are in this story. We are all born spiritually dead. We are all spiritually lepers. We are unclean. And that uncleanness shouts loud and clear to the one who is clean and can do something about it. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. I cannot cleanse myself. I am unclean. Jesus, please have mercy on us. He is the one who can have mercy on us. He is the one who can make us well. He is the one who can heal our souls. He is the one who can make us clean. He is the one who fulfills the demands of the law and imparts his righteousness onto us. He is the one who can save our souls, and he is the only one. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And our appropriate response when we have been made clean and made well, when we have been saved, our appropriate response is to fall at his feet and to praise God and to thank Jesus for his work. Amen. Our appropriate response is praise and worship, and most of all, gratefulness and thanksgiving. So I'm going to leave us with some verses regarding giving thanks to God. And then we'll go ahead and pray. And these touch on a variety of reasons and a variety of ways of giving thanks. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Colossians 3, 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And finally, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray and give thanks. Jesus, you are the almighty healer. You have had mercy on us. You have heard our crying out from our souls that we cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We are dead without you. And through your grace, through our faith in you, you have made us well. You have spiritually healed us, brought us from death to life. Please help us to remember that. Please help us to know that. Please help, as we sung this morning, the songs talked about times when things are not going all that well, and yet we are reaching out and praising you and clinging to you, and you are making it well with our soul despite the things that we are going through. And that can only happen because you have changed our hearts. You have imparted your righteousness on us. You have given us eternal salvation. So we pray, we thank you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and strength. We fall down at your feet. We give thanks and we praise you, Jesus, that that you have done this for us. And we pray that you would help us to spread that knowledge of you around, to do the things that you've listed out for us to do. The passage in Colossians 1 is amazing. Those are all things that we're supposed to be doing, but we can't do without you. We only do them through you and because of you. So we thank you for that. We pray that you give us the strength to go forward, to do the good works that you have prepared beforehand, and that you would help us to praise you, to worship you, to be grateful, and to give thanks to you above all things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.